listening to An Inside Look with North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. How do I land a big deal in my community? What are location consultants really looking for? Join us as we pull back the curtain and look inside the secrets of site selection with your hosts, Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Hey, welcome to An Inside Look, North America's Top 50 Site Consultants. I'm Amanda here with Tim, and today we are celebrating yet again one of North America's Top 50 in the business. Tim, tell us about your conversation.
Sure. I had the opportunity to talk to Barry Pisano. He's tax manager with ADP Tax Credit Services, and he works out of the Greater New York office there. His background in education, you'll be surprised to know he's got an arts degree in Spanish and International Studies from the University of Richmond, and his Juris Doctor from New York Law School. He continues to figure out tax solutions for companies and make sure that they have the right incentive packages to make smart investments. And we celebrate his work today. So I hope you sit back and enjoy the conversation with Barry. Barry, welcome to the call. So happy to have you on today. We want to congratulate you from the outset at being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants. And before we jump in too far into the content that I know both of us want to talk about today, I want our listening audience to get to know you. So what are three things everyone should know about Barry?
Well, I've been in the economic development world for about 11 years, all with ADP tax credits, and it's definitely a unique industry, and it provides a lot of opportunities. Born and raised in New Jersey, so I have very high opinion of the state, but love living in New Jersey. And other than that, went to college at the University of Richmond down in Virginia, and I received my law degree from New York Law. So that would be about it.
Well, it sounds like you've got an interesting past coming from law. Let's go back to the genesis of your career in site selection. Now, did site selection find you, or did you go find it?
It found me. It wasn't something that was really on my radar very much while I was in school. And then when I got out of law school and passed the bar exam, I wasn't really interested in practicing, let's say. And I was looking for kind of an alternative industry. And I thought that some of the skills that I picked up in law school, you know, writing and negotiation skills, some of those things, as I learned more about the industry, I realized that that skill set kind of lends it to success there. And that's ultimately, you know, what made me pursue a career in site selection. It was actually a friend who, you know, kind of turned me on to the opportunity and explained what it was and, you know, offered me a chance to get involved. So it found me. And then as I researched it and learned more about it, became more comfortable with it.
Sure. No question. So when you think about your clients today or the companies that you're serving, the companies you're talking to do your work, what do you think are some of the key issues for those clients and companies? And in particular, what do you think economic developers can do about addressing some of those issues that kind of keep reoccurring in your client base?
Sure. Well, I think the biggest issues that we find, you know, a lot of times when companies are looking at an expansion or looking at a relocation or whatever it might be, there's a lot of different people that are involved in that decision-making process. You could have real estate, human resources, tax, finance, purchasing departments. You know, there's so many different people that need to be involved and have an important role to play. And when it comes down to incentives, a lot of states will have their incentives operate as such that they're discretionary and that, you know, companies need to be able to show that the incentives play a material factor in their business decision. And any one business unit, you know, talking about something or signing a lease agreement or signing a purchase order or starting to hire people, any type of activity like that could jeopardize receiving the incentives. So the biggest issues we find usually are specific to companies having a good internal communication and internal dialogue going so that everyone knows where everyone else is with their respective timeframes and kind of managing those so that the site selection process and incentive process can operate pretty smoothly and not run into any issues.
So could you, you know, to that point, could you give us a best case kind of example of a community or state who figured that out, who figured out not only the communication loop with the company, but with you and with each other to make sure everybody was on the same page? Talk us through an example of a best case.
Sure. So, you know, certain states are very good to work with. Others sometimes have a little bit more red tape, but a couple of states where I've had some good experiences are in Michigan, Indiana, Utah, Texas. In those circumstances, typically what happens is a company will engage us to do incentive work about anywhere from, 6 to 8 months before they have an idea in terms of what they want to do. So, a good example, we worked with a company that was expanding in Utah. They were evaluating some nearby states, bordering states for their expansion. We were engaged relatively early on in their decision-making process. So we had a fair amount of lead time before they were going to enter into a purchase agreement and start construction on a new building. And we communicated that to the state, to the folks in Utah about that time frame and what the company wanted to accomplish and what other states they were looking at. And the state did a really nice job of kind of helping us with the application process and making sure that we had different meetings and different sort of approvals teed up and ready to go so that we could procure everything expeditiously and allow the company to continue through with its process, knowing that the incentives are going to be there should they select Utah. So there wasn't a whole lot of red tape or a whole lot of back and forth that was kind of muddying up the process. It was real efficient, real streamlined. And because we were engaged early on, again, we were able to set that expectation and kind of work around the company schedule.
Sure. Sounds like a great success where people were doing their work in a way where customer service and paying attention were at the core of it. We continue to hear those as best practices. So obviously, our listening audience is economic developers and others who are involved in the process, and many are constantly trying to answer the question of how do we market best to site selectors. So what marketing strategies work best for you? What are the ones that grab your attention?
Really, two things are most helpful. The first one would be just leveraging, sort of electronic communications, whether it be websites or, email correspondences, just kind of letting everybody know what's out there. So there's nothing better than going to a state's economic development website and really being able to understand what kinds of incentives they have available. The other thing that could kind of correspond to that would be a good advertisement of recent projects or transactions in that state. The easiest way for us to kind of credential a state to a client is to be able to show them, well, this is what they've done for companies somewhat recently. It makes the picture a little bit clearer, and you can really kind of understand what the state can do for the company in terms of incentives and also just their overall business climate and their business-friendly environment. The websites and public announcements, things like that are really very helpful. And then the second thing would just be the chance to sit down with them, the economic development groups from the various states when they do some kind of, they tour particular regions and meet with consultants. Sure. That face-to-face is always good, not just because it helps you understand the incentive portfolio and what's going on, but just that personalization. When you met a person a couple times or you spoke to them a couple of times, having that relationship, it's always easier to reach out, and it helps you keep a state in mind if a company is coming to you and asking you to kind of evaluate a handful of states or a handful of locations. Having that comfort level of having met people is always advantageous.
No question about it. And we consistently hear it for all the technology and tools we develop. It seems like face-to-face still works, which is really, really, really positive for economic developers, as we typically are people who love relationships. I'm going to get you out of here on this question, Barry. And this is, one of those key questions that if you only had one opportunity to talk to a room full of economic developers and they were sitting there with bated breath to hear from you, what message would you give that room full of economic developers? What's the most important thing to you to tell or to send the message to economic developers? What is the message?
The biggest message or the most pertinent message would definitely be to just kind of having that interface and being more of an advocate for companies that are looking to do something in their particular state. I've run into some scenarios where the initial discussions are sometimes a little bit adversarial and there's kind of a gatekeeper mentality. And that really hurts from both a timing perspective, but also it hurts in terms of repeat business. A lot of times companies will do a project, do an expansion in state, wasn't a great experience in terms of dealing with the economic developers. And while it didn't impact that particular transaction, as business plans change and there's opportunities for additional growth, having a good experience with a particular state is really very helpful. And the point of reference to that Utah project, that was the second transaction we assisted the company with in that state within about a three-year period. So the economic developers were almost an advocate for the project, and that really went a long way towards solidifying the company's opinion of the state and wanting to do business there and wanting to grow. I think if you can have that kind of real business-friendly attitude up front and initially, it serves really well, not just for that particular project, but also in the future. It just helps build that good mentality on the company's part to want to continue to grow and continue to succeed there.
Absolutely. Barry, thank you so much for your time this morning, for your insights, for your work to grow our economy around these United States. And of course, we congratulate you on being named one of North America's top 50 site consultants. Thanks for coming.
Oh, well, no problem. Thank you for the opportunity, and I certainly enjoyed it.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.